You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks alongside Chris and James to my sides. My name is Ryan Chambers. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook for being our sponsor, as always, and you get a couple little freebies from there when you go and use their services. Maybe the next time you go and use their services, you can bet whether or not another Dallas Stars defenseman is going to go down with an injury. Dallas Stars do get the win here tonight by a final score of 4-3 over the New York Islanders. Storylines galore out of this one, guys. A called off goal. Liam Bischel gets involved in a nasty hit with Casey Cizikas. Jason Robertson with a natural hat trick, two of them being on the power play during a 3-minute major, which was strange. I don't know how that goes about, but anyways, how are y'all doing tonight? What's your initial thoughts from this game?
Yeah, it was a great gutsy back-to-back road win against a team that had 2.5 weeks to rest. I mean, that doesn't happen very often, and the Stars did a great job of it. Like you said, shorthanded especially. The big guys stepped up when they had to. That's really what you want to see. I mean, Robo and Rope were humming tonight. Those passes all night long were incredible. They look like they're ready to chase down the Jets right now during these past two games. And even the fourth line had one of their better offensive games that we've seen all season, I think. And that's with Stankoven being a healthy scratch tonight. So, yeah, they just showed the depth tonight, and we showed how great our top players are too. So, real gutsy win.
And Robertson really is the key one there. I thought he was gunning for it all night long. Even on the first power play chance they had, it looked like he could have scored three times. Yep. So he was ready to go tonight. And when he got the puck, it was going towards the net.
Let's go ahead and start with that, since y'all are both wanting to talk about Robo. That's a good way to start the podcast, at least in a positive way. Mato over in the chat saying Robo is back to his old self, and it's so much fun to watch. Robertson now co-leads the Dallas Stars in goals with 23. I believe that is with Matt Duchene as well. James is fact-checking me. I think he gave me a look earlier. I said a fact wrong. But anyways, he's been fantastic since Christmas. And I mean, guys, this is kind of a side tangent to this game today, but there's no way he doesn't make Team USA for the Olympics, right?
Seems likely that he will make it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been at Four Nations if it wasn't for his abysmal start, really.
Yeah, and that was only due to his injury, it turns out.
And, you know, on the side note, y'all were talking about Hintz a little bit. Hintz has 8 assists in his last 9 games, This year has been kind of a weird one for him because he's been scoring more goals than he has been dishing the puck out, but he's starting to dish that puck out a little bit more, and Robertson's starting to get more of the goals. It always seems like when one is getting the goals, the other is getting the assists on said goals. So it's great to see our best players be our best players tonight, especially given the circumstances. Second night of a back-to-back, you know, again, like you said, Chris, that this team was very well rested, and, you know, Dallas played with 4 defensemen for like 20 minutes. So again, best players were our best players, at least offensively here today.
Yep, agreed.
Want to jump to another topic here in the game tonight. We got to mention it real quick. Bischel, I don't understand how that hit is not a 5-minute major. I mean, there were some people I saw on social media saying that it wasn't a 5-minute major, and I'm like, dude, I understand that Bischel kind of puts himself in a position where he's trying to stop, so his head is lower than it normally is, and that's why he's even able to hit a guy who's 6'7" in the head. but Casey Cizikas was not going for the puck at all. I mean, the puck was to the right of his feet as he hits Bischel in the head. So, I mean, what's your take on the call? Was it a 5-minute major? Should it have been?
They did call a 5-minute major, but yeah, it didn't really matter what his intent was. He hit him in the head and he injured him. So that's the definition of a match penalty.
This is one that people are starting to figure out is a match penalty now. I mean, there is slight contact before that's like maybe you could say it was in the body at first, but then it goes straight to the head. Yeah. So maybe it's probably like 30-70 to the head, like 70% to the head, 30 to the body, which it's getting called pretty consistently right now. They're calling those. They don't want him in the game anymore.
And that's just...
It's a dangerous hit too, because the dude is watching Bischel the whole time. He knows where he's going to hit him, and he hits him high anyway.
Right. He's not going for the puck at all. He's not trying to make a play on the puck at all. Well,
and there's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to hit. It's hockey. He can go for the hit. That's totally fine. But when you're going for it, it's up to him to not hit Bischel in the head. Unfortunately, he failed to do that, and it resulted in an injury.
Which shouldn't be hard when the dude is 6'7".
Right, right. So it was pretty clear match penalty. Glad the refs called it. They got it right, and it was easy.
The reason why I said it the way I did, the question was just because there were quite a few people I saw that were, at least on the New York Islanders side, that were calling it and saying, oh, that's not a match penalty at all. Maybe it's a penalty, but it's not a match. That's why I framed it that way. Well, anyways,
anytime there's a major penalty that's or there's a penalty that results in an injury like that with those kind of things, it's always a match penalty, isn't it? That's the rule.
If it's a
5-minute major and they review it and it stands, it's typically a match penalty.
Yeah.
Yes, typically. But what they were saying is while they were reviewing the play, they said, oh, it should be downgraded to a 2-minute minor. And I didn't agree with that. So whatever, it doesn't matter. It did stand up as a match penalty and a 5-minute major. Two things from this I want to talk about real quick. Good for Dumba. Like, as much crap as we've given Dumba this year for his defensive deficiencies, him standing up for Bischel right there, that's what we need to see a lot more of from a lot more players. Good on him to do that.
Right. We've seen that a lot from different Dallas players this year so far, but that's especially an area that Dumba's required to help us out in, and he did the right thing there. I think the 10-minute misconduct for that was pretty stupid. I mean, you see that all the time. Your line mate gets injured on a play, you go fight the guy. That's an NHL thing. So to call that a 10-minute misconduct is pretty stupid, in my opinion. It should have been a 5. Absolutely, you can give him the 2 as well, but a 10-minute was ridiculous.
You're talking about someone who is only in their 18th NHL game. So, yeah, I hope someone goes over there and fights him. It's stupid that they basically said, okay, you have to play with 4 defensemen now. So.
Yeah, that's what they did, because Bischel's going to the quiet room for concussion protocol, and he's probably not coming back after getting a dude's shoulder directly into his jaw. So they absolutely just said the Stars are going to be playing with 4 defensemen for 20 minutes. It was a dumb 10-minute penalty to call.
No, I think it's the same way with an instigator. I think you get a match penalty as well. Yeah. Is that not how that works?
It's not always true.
Okay,
it's
so
stupid. I don't understand how the thing works, but no, I've seen it.
Okay.
If you get the 5 and the 2, that you have to get a 10-minute.
I've seen them give a 2 and a 5 and a 2 and a 10.
Well, regardless, I put this out on Twitter. I was really frustrated. I'm even more frustrated now that you're telling me that, James, because it feels like the only time that the instigator penalty is given is when it's given to the Dallas Stars. And I watch a lot of hockey, not just Dallas Stars games, and I never see this penalty called in any other game, including situations like this where there's a big hit and someone else goes after the other guy. There was one earlier yesterday that we saw where there was a big hit. It wasn't even a nasty hit. I think it was Dylan Larkin. And that was not, there was no instigator call on that either. So it's just frustrating. And it especially was really bad because, like you both mentioned, Stars were down to 4 defensemen for basically 20 minutes. in the most critical part of the game with, you know, the Stars on a second night of a back-to-back nursing a 2-goal lead. Like, that should be something that should be considered by the refs and not putting the Stars at a disadvantage when they're the ones that were, you know, they're losing one of their top six defensemen. That should be taken into consideration, in my opinion. And I hated the call by the refs there. Anyways, on the flip side of that, that was going to be the other thing I was going to talk about was the whole instigating thing. Do you think that was something that is just with the Dallas Stars? Am I just crazy because I'm a Dallas Stars fan?
I think they just call it whenever they feel like it. I mean, they don't call it the same way every time. If it was the same way every time, I don't think people would have nearly as big of a problem with it. If they were like, okay, if you go and fight someone because they just laid a big hit on your player, it's an instigator. And they did it every single time, then it wouldn't be a problem. But they don't do it that way.
Yeah, I don't think the Stars are getting it necessarily more often. I mean, it feels that way for sure because we watch every game that this team plays and we don't watch every game that every other team plays. But James is absolutely right. It needs to be consistent. And that's 100% correct that it's not consistent right now how they call it. So I wish they would just go back to the days where it's really hard to get an instigator penalty, because I mean, it takes two to tango, literally. I mean, you can't rip the other guy's gloves off. So I don't get the instigator really all that much. If the other guy's willing, then one guy didn't force you. So it just needs to be consistent.
Part of it though is like, those are the most fun fights that pop up too, is when someone lays a big hit and one of your player goes and they try to answer that dude with a fight. Those are some of the most exciting fights that you see.
Right. That's the main reason I feel like fighting is still in the game, to police situations like that. So if we're giving someone 17 minutes for participating in that part of the game, it seems dumb.
Ryan Gardner with a $4.99 super chat. Thank you, Ryan. This team refuses to quit. That being said, we need more help. Cedar Park, trade, etc. My heart was beating. I agree. My heart was beating the entire time after Bischel went down. And it was even worse when I realized that Dumbo was going to be out for, again, like 20 minutes of the game, and we were going to be down to four defensemen, with Labushkin also, you know, leaving the game for a period of time as well. So really three healthy defensemen, and that was it. And one of them was Cody Ceci. So, I mean, I don't know where we go with this. It almost feels like we have to make a trade at this point now too, if Bischel's going to be out for a period of time.
Yeah, definitely need some help. For Cedar Park, your best option is Petrovic. They tried with Capo Bianco. I think he had one of his worst games ever when he played that one in Dallas. So it'd be nice to see him have another go. But to be honest, there's no one really close to actually NHL ready. Even Petrovic and Capobianco, they can play in the NHL a little bit, but those are solidly AHL guys. I mean, they're never going to have an extended stint in the NHL with a playoff team, really, in the future of their careers. So if there is another injury, I 100% agree there has to be a trade of some kind to help out. I'm hoping it was just precautionary, because it was a huge hit directly to the head. So hopefully it's just a concussion, which is weird to say, but hopefully his jaw's not broken and he's just
best case scenario, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah. So what do y'all think it is? Do you think it's a broken jaw, or do you think it's a concussion?
I think it's just a concussion, but it could be a broken jaw. We've seen enough face injuries this year with Dallas that I wouldn't be surprised.
That's true.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm hoping it's a concussion, because a concussion would be less painful and would allow him to come back quicker. Not that that matters. I want him to be healthy.
I don't know that it would be less painful, but he would get back quicker.
Getting hit in the jaw with a shoulder is not good either way.
Well, let's move on to some other things, because, you know, he looked okay in the tunnel. Yeah, Ryan, exactly. He looked okay in the tunnel. He got that hug from Colin Blackwell as the guys were wrapping it up in the broadcast. But I'm just not quite sure. And maybe we'll hear something about it, you know, after this podcast releases and he's, you know, perfectly okay. He was just held out for precautionary reasons, but we'll have to wait and see. Hey guys, it's Ryan here. Have you played Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? You better get on it. The playoffs are here and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Play for better payouts on Pick 6. It's super easy to get started. Select two or more players, choose if they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. And DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers pay $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Win more cash on Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Another kind of storyline coming out of tonight before the game even happened. And Chris, you mentioned it, Logan Stankoven, healthy scratched. Makes sense. Not surprised. He's just had a string of bad luck this season. I don't think he's played bad. I really don't. It's just the points and what you kind of expect from him are not, you know, or they're not getting reciprocated right now. So smart move by Pete DeBoer here.
I mean, maybe. I mean, you might as well try it. We've tried everything else with Stegovan. We moved him up and moved him down. He's been all around on this team except for the press box. So why not give it a shot? See if that pushes anything through his brain.
Yeah, it's also hard to not give it to Blackwell when basically when he gets in the game, he makes something happen every single time. The past like three or four games he's been in, he's been he either gets an assist or is a leading cause to a goal. Like right. he had the face off win on the steal goal tonight. He doesn't get an assist for it, but he leads directly to it. So it's so hard to not put Blackwell in when you see Stankoven struggling offensively.
Yeah. And all three of those, like I said, off the start of the show tonight, all three of the fourth liners looked great tonight. I mean, Blackwell had that really dangerous chance off the wing tonight as well. The only one who didn't do anything offensively really was Beck, but he's your solid lockdown D forward.
That's his MO.
Right. So they all played well. It's such a luxury of this team being so deep, especially since they got Granlund. That's like someone is going to be off the ice who doesn't deserve to be. And right now, Stink's not scoring. He needs to be scoring. Let's try that out.
Yeah, and speaking of scoring, I think Blackwell had points in three of his last four games, dating back to before the break is what I remember hearing. And so it makes sense for him to be getting the game here tonight. And then on top of that, he did have that one play where he kind of hit the top of the crossbar. He also had that inside out that he did on Pellick or Pollock, one of the two. And it was a great play by him. He had a good chance there too. So he's still making things kind of happen on that fourth line. And I want to pull this up because I don't agree with this, and this is not a shout out or like a thing on Brandon or anything like that, but maybe Stankoven needs some more AHL time. I highly disagree with that. I don't think that's going to do him any good going down to the AHL. What say you?
I mean, he's not going to get sitting down to the AHL, but it's weird. I don't know. He just needs to get some pucks in the net, and it's happened a couple times for him. It's kind of like how Robo was at the start of the season this year. He had a couple games where we were like, okay, maybe Robo's back now, and it just hasn't happened. And Stankoven's had a couple so far in this middle to late part of the season where it's been like, okay, Stankoven's figuring it out. He's just got to keep it rolling, and he's hasn't been able to. So I think the coaching staff is just trying a bunch of different ways to get his brain out of the whatever gear it's in that's causing him to miss the net so much. So
yeah, I mean, we saw it we saw this kind of happen with the start of Roope Hintz's career too. I mean, he kind of struggled a bit offensively, and then eventually you kind of just figure it out. And Bork has, especially Bork, has made it there. He's really started to figure it out, and Stankoven is, he's just going to have to take more time.
I was going to go somewhere else, but since you mentioned Bork, James, I thought he was, especially early on, it was a little weird with him on that top line. There was some, you know, miscommunication play-wise with him and the other two, but they figured it out as the game went along, and I thought he looked a lot better as the game went along. So I
Bork loved that line after thinking about it too. Like, Bork is like a mastermind with when the way he plays. He's just in the right position. He knows where he wants to put the puck, and that's a perfect line to put him on. I mean, that fits perfectly. I thought it made a bunch of sense.
And I think it makes a lot more sense for Wyatt Johnston and Ben to be together, because those two guys just seem to have like one brain together. The chemistry between those two guys really seems to work well. And then he becomes your third line center, and you've arguably got the deepest center position in the National Hockey League with Roope Hintz, with Matt Duchene, and then with Wyatt Johnston. It's just ridiculous being able to roll out those three guys on your top three lines. Oh, and Sam Steele is your fourth line center.
Having Sam Steele on his fourth line.
A guy that just signed an extension, and he's going to make $2.1 million next year. Yeah, like that's ridiculous. And oh, if Sam Steele gets hurt, that's okay. We have Oscar back. Oh, if he gets hurt, we have Colin Blackwell. Colin Blackwell can play center. Jamie Benn can play center too at a pinch. I mean, it's just ridiculous the amount of wealth that this team has on the offensive side. Okay, another headline I wanted to talk about, another storyline, Ottinger. Ottinger was really rough on that first goal of the game. Some people were giving him crap for the second goal as well. I don't really give it to him so much on the second goal. Dude, did he stand up big and strong in the second and the third. If without his play in the second and the third, again, it can get easily overlooked, and his play was excellent, and he kind of, you know, made retribution for that one goal that he gave up early.
Right, and these are the kind of games I'd rather see from him. Like, seeing him go perfect from start to finish is good, but seeing him struggle and battle back and be a huge part, if not the reason, that the Stars win the game on the second night of a back-to-back is just so much more important. He became the guy in that third period. I mean, he stood up and was the best player on the ice. So that is clutch stuff you want to see from your netminder. That's the kind of stuff you can look back on in the playoffs when your team is just getting hammered in the third period and trying to desperately hold on to a lead. You can look back and say, he did that against the Islanders. There's no reason they shouldn't have tied the game except for Otter. And he did it again tonight, and hopefully he can use that going into the playoffs and late in the season as we push to catch the Jets.
Yeah, and really what I thought it was tonight was he wasn't seeing it very well on the first two goals. But after that, I mean, he just saw everything. He was following the puck in the play really well and just always putting himself in the chance to save it.
What did y'all see from the rest of the forward lines here tonight? I mean, obviously I thought Duchene's line was pretty good. Chris, you mentioned the fourth line. What did you all see from the other forward lines here this evening?
Yeah, they were solid, I thought. I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more creativity offensively, especially from the Johnston-Benn line. I mean, they did their work on the power play, so you can't complain too much about it. But 5-on-5, they were struggling a little bit to get the cycle going in the offensive zone.
Yeah, I mean, Duchene looked ridiculous again tonight. He just does stuff with the puck that just doesn't make sense. that's kind of how that whole line works. They just take the puck and they keep it on their stick, and it just goes around in circles around the other team.
It really is a lot of fun to watch him, you know, handle the puck, and he just makes it look easy too. He just like pulls out magic out of a hat just randomly, and I'm just like, okay, where did he get that from?
So yeah, the best saves of the night for Sorokin were against the Duchene line.
All right. I just want to shout out Time on Ice, because I'm really curious how
it's crazy.
Oh, it's nuts. Okay. So Harley with almost 28 minutes time on ice tonight. Oh my goodness. Lindell with 25 and a half, basically. CeCe with 23.07. Labushkin with 18.45. And then Dumba with 10.45, and Bischel with 9 minutes. That is just ridiculous. That is the worst, you know, division of time on ice for defensemen that I think I've ever seen out of a game, and just out of necessity, honestly.
Yeah.
So for all those top four guys, for 46, 55, 23, and 44, those four guys were just excellent tonight, and they're going to get a much deserved rest here this evening.
Yeah, I thought Lyubushkin struggled a little bit, actually, but he also was probably playing hurt, so I'll give him a little bit of a pass there. But I really first, Harley was awesome, obviously. He has been the past two games. He looked fantastic in Four Nations. He's definitely taken another step since Miro's been out. Absolutely needed, and he's filled it for sure. But CeCe had an outstanding game, I thought, tonight, playing 23 minutes time on ice. He had some struggle games as we kind of went into the break. But especially tonight, we couldn't afford him to have a struggle game. And he stepped up big time, and I thought he played really well.
Yeah, and especially defensively, making sure he didn't turn anything over in his own end.
Right.
And making sure he's covering the dude he's supposed to in front of the net.
He's just making the easy, simple defensive plays, not trying to do too much. And that's exactly what he needs to do right now when we're short-staffed.
One other thing we need to kind of mention is, yes, the Stars only got 3 minutes out of that 5-minute major, but they actually take care of business this time. Yeah, they're actually effective with it. They take a 2-goal lead after Liam Bischel goes out, and they actually were both power play goals, James. See, I remembered correctly. Yeah. And, you know, the special teams for the Dallas Stars continues to be way, way better than it was at the beginning of the season, specifically on the power play side. Yes, the penalty kill has kind of trailed off a little bit, but it's been solid enough. And then that power play has just been so good since January 4th or 1st. Where I was going with this is they've been fourth in the NHL since January 1st on the power play. And somehow they're still only 21st in the NHL overall over the course of the season. It just shows you how bad their power play was. For the beginning of the season, just shows how bad their power play was.
Yeah, tonight playing a bad penalty kill definitely helped. I mean, the passing was great, but they were able to put it wherever they wanted to. So give them credit for taking what was there, but man, there was a lot there.
And really a huge part of the power play getting going is Jason Robertson getting going. I mean, I think with this game, he has 9 power play goals since the beginning of January. So, That'll do you some big favors. It's just he was just ready in his shots back, and he's just puts it towards the net anytime he gets it.
You can say that for the whole team, honestly. I mean, you go back and look at the season. The story's going to be Robo was hurt in the beginning of the year, so the Stars were bad. Then Miro was good, and the team was good. That's going to be the story of this regular season. So it's crazy how much this team lives and dies with Robo.
Speaking of, you know, Robo and elite players, I kind of wanted to ask you guys about this because this has been on my mind the last couple of days, and especially with Harley's coming out party internationally for Team Canada and all that stuff. Do you think Harley has potential to surpass Miro one day? I don't do good projecting. Miro is an elite D-man. That's from Ryan Gardner. Guys, I mean, I would have said no 2 or 3 weeks ago, but and I understand the whole argument with Miro doesn't play on his strong side that much, but he has not played on his strong side for seasons now. And the season where he scored like 70 something points and was ridiculous on the power play, got all those assists and everything, he was mostly playing on the right side. So is this just Harley just kind of coming into his own, and we're just going to have 2 elite D-men, and Harley is still going to be that number 2? Or do you see maybe Harley one day overtaking Miro Heiskanen as that number 1 D-man?
Well, it really depends on what you think is more important in a defenseman. So Harley right now is better offensively than Miro is, I feel like, this season for sure. I think Miro still has the potential to be extremely good offensively. He showed a lot more flash earlier in his career than he has in the past 2-3 seasons. But today, Harley is better offensively than Miro is. Harley also does a lot more dumb things than Miro does in his own zone. I mean, you can look tonight. He has a couple of pretty bad passes in his own D zone that
and a bad turnover.
Solid chances for the Islanders. Miro wouldn't do that. I mean, Miro has very few of those kind of plays, and I think Harley has a few more of them. So they really play, at least this year, they play extremely differently. Miro is playing much more similarly to Lindell, staying back, and Harley is a very aggressive defenseman. So,
what do you think, James?
I think Harley, at the very least, has a much better shot than Miro Heiskanen does. You see Harley score from above the circles all the time, and that's just not something Miro can do. That's not something we've ever seen him really do, unless there's like a ton of traffic in front and it just finds a way through. Harley seems to find his own windows at the top of the zone, and he, when he knows there's a bunch of traffic in front, he has a soft shot that is able to be tipped. It's some of it is Harley likes to have the puck on his stick, I feel like, a lot more than Miro, and he skates down into the zone, is underneath the dots all the time, and
right,
if he's playing with Miro half the time, Miro can't go and do that now, which that's yep. where Miro is the best offensively. Below the dots, Miro can be a menace, but he just doesn't get there very often.
So is that an argument exactly to have? Go ahead, Chris.
I mean, I was just going to illustrate James's point. You go look at the power play goal from last night that Harley scored. I mean, it's one off the draw. He takes it straight to the net. I mean, that's what Harley has done this year that Miro hasn't done the past two or three.
I wanted to talk about that goal from last night, because where Harley shot that puck is exactly where Nathan MacKinnon shot the puck and scored in the Four Nations game. That is the exact same place in the exact same play. He just didn't get a pass.
Right, but the reason why it's making me think that Harley might be the number one guy over Miro one day is, yes, Miro is absolutely elite defensively, very similar to Lindell in that way. I would say Lindell is way more elite defensively, but Harley is able to do it. Yes, he does make those stupid mistakes, but he's still a positive player. And it's a terrible stat to look at, but his plus minus for the year is quite impressive. Ooh. Considering what he's done. I know, Chris, I know.
Yearly plus minus.
I know, but there are players like Erik Karlsson who score 100 points in a season, and they're still a minus for the season. So
that shows how dumb that stat is.
But it's still something to look at that you could say, okay, maybe that's something to look at. But anyways, we got to wrap it up because we're already running a little bit late here. Biggest winner, biggest loser. Who you got tonight?
The biggest winner is Robo because he scored 3 goals and he's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to ditto that because I don't think anyone else deserves that outside of like maybe Otter. Otter had a great third period. Robo was there the whole night.
Well, I'll give mine to Rob, to Robertson, to Robo, not because of just that, but with the 3 goals, but he's just been excellent for, I guess, weeks, even though he hasn't played a game in weeks. But
I think the last like 16 games, he has 13 goals, 7 assists.
That's stupid. And Otter probably deserves an honorable mention for it because of the way he kept the Stars in the game, even though he gave up a soft one. I mean, that just like Jordan Binnington in the Four Nations tournament, right? He gives up a really soft goal to the United States early on, but then in the overtime, just ridiculous saves left and right on the start on the United States top players. That's basically what Ottinger did here tonight. He gave up a soft goal, and then he's able to kind of get retribution for it with some big saves in the third period. So, okay, biggest loser. I think there's an obvious one here.
You go ahead if you think there's an obvious one.
Casey Cizikas. Screw that guy. nobody likes him. He's old and he's decrepit and he just needs to retire. So, yeah. Okay.
I don't think he meant to hit Bischel in the head, but he did, so it's still a penalty. But I don't think there was a 10, but yeah.
How do you do that to someone who's that tall?
He was kind of ducked down a little bit, but yeah, that's a tough look. The biggest loser, Sorokin. He didn't face that many shots, and he still got rocked. I mean, help us out when you're on the PK.
Biggest loser. Ryan said Robertson got a natural hat trick. That's technically not true. Palmieri scored in between his natural hat trick. So,
dang.
Oh, is that how that works? I thought it had to
be 3 straight.
Oh, Okay, well, whatever.
Ryan's dumb.
I thought a natural hat
trick. We're learning.
I thought a natural hat trick was just when you get three goals for your team straight back to back.
Incorrect.
But oh, whatever. Hey, yeah, you learn things new every single day, right? Even if it's something you probably should have known already.
Yeah, stole my joke. I was going to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, anything else, guys?
That's good.
Okay, I think we hit most of the storylines. Hopefully, Bishop will be okay. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Obviously, Smith is probably going to get in, and we'll see either Petro or Capobianco get called up. I'm with you, Chris. I think it's going to be Petro. At least I hope it is, because he's shown he can be a solid number six guy when needed to be. And yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Thank you guys so much for following along with us live. If you're listening afterwards, we appreciate you guys as well. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. That promo code is THPN. Go there the next time you are there. If you're watching on YouTube, click like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so that you never miss an episode of Starcastric Remarks. If you're listening on the audio side, leave us a 5-star review wherever that may be. If you'd like to join the Who Cares Club and help support us in what we do here for $5 a month, we'd really appreciate it. Nothing is behind the paywall. Everything is going to continue to be free. There's just a couple of extra little perks that you get for being a member of the Who Cares Club. I think that's it. Alongside Chris, alongside James, my name's Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good afternoon, evening, morning, whenever you guys are listening. Chris, what you got for us?
I can't think of any puns, so the Islanders suck. GG, boys.